the State Senate Health and Human Services Committee heard testimony on documented increases in suicides, substance abuse, and depression related to COVID-19. The pandemic has affected every part of life, from health to isolation and job loss. The families of more than 300,000 Americans are grieving their loss. A poll conducted by the Kaiser Family Foundation earlier this year showed that 53% of adults in the United States reported that the coronavirus pandemic had negatively impacted their mental health. 36% of respondents reported difficulty sleeping, 32% indicated changes to their eating, and 12% said their alcohol or substance use had increased. Dr. Sherry Rosenblatt is the director of the Clinical Counseling and Marriage and Family Program at Hardin-Simmons University. She joins me by phone. Dr. Rosenblatt, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
I've read that COVID-19 has led to a historic rise in mental health issues, and I wanted to start by hearing what you're seeing in your practice. What's different, or how is the mental health of local people being impacted during this time?
Well, with the just increased sense of isolation, being separated from our loved ones, as you stated earlier, there is an increase in depression, in anxiety, in substance abuse, in suicide rates, and we see that in our practice. You know, for a while we were not able to see clients in person, and we tried to do that telehealth, but that created an added strain because people had this disconnect where you normally would meet in person. So just a great number of challenges in getting people the help that they needed with this increase in depression and anxiety.
I know you oversee students as part of the work you do at Hardin-Simmons. I'm wondering what new techniques the program may be adding as a result of the new challenges that COVID-19 has presented and the other stresses from 2019 that clients are facing.
Well, we've definitely added techniques of telehealth, of having counseling sessions online, or on the phone, and that creates, you have to be creative with the techniques that you apply in counseling because you have these strains and added stresses to the session. But in addition, we have tried to focus on gratitude, on adding this sense of positivity to the session that will also add to the client's life. Research has shown that if you have gratitude, if you employ practices that where you are thankful and see positive things, then you will decrease your depression and anxiety.
I know that as officials begin rolling out the vaccines and starting to put these extra protections in place, but it's still going to be months before we start to see life returning to normal. I'm wondering how practicing gratitude can impact mental health.
Well, there's a great research study that looked at clients who just practiced counseling and those who didn't have counseling, those who had counseling and then wrote a gratitude journal, things that they were thankful for. And the study showed that the longevity of the clients who used gratitude lasted a lot longer than not having counseling or counseling alone. So it lasted for a long time.
Is it not just a matter of the positivity, but also shifting focus off of the negative things and oneself?
It is. I deal with students who work with extremely tough populations, and what they have found, the way that they are able to work with intense clients and depression and not having very much hope, is to find the positive aspects of those situations. And that makes all the difference between hopelessness and hope.
Do you think there are specific benefits from gratitude to people who are processing a loss of a loved one?
Definitely. When we've seen a whole lot of loss and grief this year, death rates are increasing exponentially. And when people in that grief process are able to focus on what they loved about that person, what they were thankful for, it helps to make that grieving process smoother and less painful.
So what does practicing gratitude really look like practically? What are the different ways that people can start making gratitude part of their daily life?
A gratitude journal is a great way to practice gratitude. Writing down at the end of the day the things that you are thankful for from that day. Writing a thank you note. We've definitely gotten out of the habit of that, but I think writing a thank you note is even more important in our culture, in our time today. Meditation. Just taking some time to be mindful of where you are and including prayer in that, if that is a part of your belief system. Being creative, painting, singing, listening to music, watching art, all of these things can be very practical ways to add gratitude into your life.
Earlier, you were talking about how long the benefits last, but how quickly do you start to see the benefits once you start practicing gratitude?
Well, it's almost immediate because it changes your focus. It changes your outlook. As soon as you start to practice gratitude, it shifts your focus from the depression onto the things that you're thankful for.
I think a lot of people use the new year to push reset. Maybe even if they don't make resolutions, it can be a time of reflection. Do you have ideas about how gratitude can be incorporated into traditions or maybe just that fresh start as we change our calendars?
Absolutely. Reflecting on the year is a normal part of that time of year. And, 2020 had so many challenges, and seeing the things that were good about the year can definitely help, again, change that perspective. And then incorporating that into the coming year, because we will always have challenges. We will always have good times and not good times, and practicing gratitude throughout those, by a gratitude journal, by writing thank you notes, those are things that you can do all year long that will impact no matter what's going on in your life.
Well, Dr. Rosenblatt, thank you for talking with us about the benefits of gratitude.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Sherry Rosenblatt is the director of the Clinical Counseling and Marriage and Family Program at Hardin-Simmons University. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.